I guess because everyone was blue because they couldn't go out and get some, right? Ballantine. It made your day blue. You want to make my day blue? Keep me out of this house. I'll be as blue as they get. Keep me away from my God and in the house of my God. The day after my wife died, there was no place to be other than right here. Anywhere else would have made me blue except for right here. Because this is where I need to be. Because this is where God is. And this is where I connect with him. And everything is made right. It's right here. I'm going to chain a bed to this pulpit. That's what I've learned. I share it with you. Pastor, your wife died. Why don't you take some time off? No, I know the secret and I share it with you. This is where I need to be. Not somewhere else. Right here. Blue laws. Remember. Remember, God instructed the Jews to erect some stones for a remembrance. So go back to where your stones are. Back to where and when God moved mightily in your life. Remember how it used to be. He's offering some advice on how to get it back if you found that you've lost it. This world wants to take it from you. Your peace, your joy, your devotion, your zeal. Which brings me to number three. Number three, third remedy, if you're in a dead church, get excited again. You are alive at the end of the age. That is exciting news. That you could be alive to see the color of Jesus' eyes? That's exciting to me. How about you? Of all the times you could have lived, from Confucius to George Wash, he's got you alive now at the end of the age? That's exciting news. And God makes no mistake. Acts 17, he's determined our pre-appointed times and the boundaries for where we live. God's got you alive now for a reason. And he wants to use you to turn this upside down world right side up. Amen? I don't care if you're 90 or I don't care if you're 7. God wants to use you out here today. The fourth thing, repent. Repent and put it behind you. God has amnesia with your sins once you repent of them and turn from them. That's many places in the Bible. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from me. Jeremiah 33, verse 13, I think. I will remember your sins no more. God promises to have amnesia with one thing, your sins. He didn't die in vain. He shed his blood so that God could not remember your sins anymore. You remember them, but he doesn't. God's promise to forget all of your sins. Once you confess, homo legeo, speak the same thing, agree with God with what they are, and leave them there at the altar and turn your back and walk away from them. He will obliterate them once and for all. Next up, the threat. If, that is, if you refuse to do these things. If you don't wake up or watch, I'm going to come upon you like a thief unexpectedly. So what then does he mean by the words watch? For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, one will be left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know at what hour your Lord is coming. Ah, now I see. It looks to me like he's returning and coming back to all those that are looking for him. Where's that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. That would be Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, out of the King James Version. It says this, though I don't have a King James on me, but I remember it, thank God. Hebrews 9:28, it says, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and unto those that look for him, he's coming again a second time, apart from sin, unto salvation. Jesus is coming back again to everyone that's looking for him. Now, the other Bibles have changed that word, probably rightfully so, because you can't be looking 24 hours. Well, can you? The word means eagerly await. This is why I use this sermon every Christmas, this text. That's the greatest Christmas text in all the world. So Christ was also offered once to bear the sins of many. And unto all those that look for him, he's coming again a second time. Think about being a kid or maybe your children on Christmas Eve. You'd stuff them all. See, in our house, we open presents Christmas Eve. So they'd make the four boys go upstairs. Think about the anticipation of a child on Christmas Eve. That is the heart condition. That's what he's looking for. And that's who he's coming back for. He's coming back for everyone that has a heart like a child. Everyone who is eagerly awaiting the return of the Son of God. That's who he's coming back for. That's what he means by watching. Therefore, remember how you have received and heard and hold fast and repent. But if you don't watch, notice he didn't say if you don't repent. He said if you're not watching. If you don't watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will by no means know at what hour I will come upon thee. Now thieves break in and steal what? Valuables. They don't steal garbage. They steal valuables. Jesus is promising he's coming back again. And he's coming back to all those that look for him. He's going to steal all of his valuables out of this world. And you and I need to be eagerly awaiting him. And that's what he's asked. That's what he's saying to this church. If you will not watch, or let's say eagerly await my return. Verse 4, you've got a few names in Sardis that have not defiled their garments. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Notice why they're worthy. They're worthy because they kept themselves pure. This group is worthy for what they wouldn't do, not for what they did do. They're worthy for what they wouldn't do. That is, be like everyone else. Sin and put up with sin. Let sin in the doors. Let the pastor marry two men. Playing bingo in the sanctuary. Having a big wah-wah pedal and a Marshall amp here with my electric guitar. Being just like the world. Man, this place is holy. It's separate from sinners. They're worthy for what they wouldn't do. Luke 21:36, watch therefore and pray always that you would be counted worthy to escape all of these things, to stand before the Son of Man. Notice all the personal accountability here in this letter. Now, on to verse 5. We're not going to have time to finish this today. Verse 5. Man, Jesus is sore at this church, the dead church. There's no commendation, only rebuke. Verse 5, he that overcometh, the same will be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. First off, let's talk about new clothing here. Matthew 22, we read about that the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call those that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell those that are invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatlings are killed. Everything is ready. Come to the marriage. But they made light of it, and they went their own ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. The remnant took his servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. Now when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burnt the city. This is Matthew 22, I'm in. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those which were invited are not worthy. So go therefore into the highways, and as many as you find, bid to come to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways, gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Now when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man there that did not have on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. So you see, to gain entry into this banquet, you're given two things. Number one, a white stone. We looked at that a couple weeks ago, right? To him who overcomes, I will give a white stone, and on it a name written that no one knows except him who gets the stone from me. And number two, you're given some new threads, a new jacket. When you win the Masters, they give you a green jacket. When you make it up here to heaven, they give you a white one. And without these new clothes, you'll be spotted and thrown out if you're able to sneak in some other way. You see, Jesus said, I am the door. He who enters in by me will be saved. And when you enter in that door, he gives you your white stone and your new clothes. You cannot wear your own clothes to this banquet. No matter how nice your clothes are, no matter how expensive they are, you cannot wear your clothes to his banquet. You've got to have his. When you enter in through that door, he'll give you a white stone with a new name on it. And wedding clothes. Okay, next up, a verse argued about for over 1,000 years. And we're not going to argue about it today. He that overcomes will be clothed in white clothing, white garment, white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What does he mean by this? The Greek word for blot out is the word exalypso, which means to erase, like on a blackboard. This verse seems to imply that Jesus might erase someone's name out of the book of life. So, is this a threat or is this a wonderful promise? Well, once again, this is a conditional promise. A promise to all members of what I like to call Overcomers Anonymous. To all who overcome, I won't get out my eraser and blot your name out of the book of life. He doesn't say, he's nowhere in his text does it say he's going to erase your name. He's promising you in your text, in this text, he's not going to erase your name. But people turn this verse around, people that believe you can lose your salvation, like I used to believe, and I don't believe anymore. I've changed positions on this. I don't have time now for this. If you read, I'll give you a couple texts. They're on the handout where it says salvation. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Colossians 1:21. Skip Matthew, skip John. Romans 11:21 and 22. There's a common denominator in all of those. You know what it is? It's the word I or you. It says you're saved if you keep in memory. That's the first one. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Now Colossians 1:21, it says you're saved if you. The burden is on you. Romans 11:21. He says the same thing. If God did not spare the natural branches, he might not spare you either. Therefore, consider the kindness and severity of God, on those that fell, severity, but toward you, kindness, if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. In all those texts, the burden is on you. Everyone follow me? But now when you read Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, it says this. Notice how many times you hear the word he. Okay? Romans 8, 28 and 29. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that were called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he has predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, meaning I'm not done yet. Whom he's predestined, these he has called. Whom he has called, he has justified. Whom he has justified, he has glorified. Notice how many times the word I or you is in that text. Zero. You didn't save yourself, is what I'm trying to say. Those other scriptures in here are given as threats. Paul is threatening you in those texts to keep walking the line. Otherwise, 1 John 2:19, that's on here. Though they came out from us, they didn't belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have continued and remained with us. Those verses are threats to keep you walking the line, but salvation is of the Lord. You did not save yourself. Each one of these verses here, you did. To answer my own question, if salvation is up to man, yes, you can lose that. Matter of fact, you'll lose it once I keep you here till 12 o'clock. I'm being facetious, but okay. Once you blow the stop sign, once anything, dot, 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 whatever it is, if you saved yourself, you not only can you lose yourself, you will lose yourself. The joy is you didn't save yourself. Another verse I don't think I gave you. I don't even think it's on there. It's Ephesians 1, verse 4. It says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. God saved you, called you, chose you, justified you, and glorified you before you were born. If you didn't save yourself, you can't lose yourself. That's what I've come to learn through studying this Bible, the years that I've been studying it. I used to believe you could lose that until I understood that salvation is of the Lord, not of me. So can a person lose their salvation? If your salvation is your own doing, you can lose it. But it's God who's at work in you. God's called you. He chose you. He forgave you. He is saving you. He's justified you. And he's glorified you. If God has done the work and not you, you cannot lose what God has accomplished. And that is good news. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for saving us. Thank you that salvation is of the Lord, not of us, because we'd mess it up. Like we always mess things up. You did not mess it up. Thank you for calling us, for choosing us, for sanctifying us, setting us apart, for transforming us day by day, week by week, into the image of Jesus Christ. Thank you for justifying us, that is, slamming down your gavel and looking at us and saying, not guilty, Paul, and everyone else, not guilty. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for reconciling us back to the Father. Thank you. You've done all the work. We praise you. Help us now to watch. Help us to be obedient to what you called out this church for. If you will not watch, help us to always watch. Thank you for the understanding of this word. It means to eagerly await. like we do when we partake of communion. We do this in remembrance of you. Help us eagerly await your return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
As the sun begins to rise, in that moment you are God. In the darkness of the night, even then you are God. In the depths, in the heights, you remain, you are God. Give me breath and give me life, and I will say you are. It's who you are, you'll never change, you'll never change, you'll never change. It's who you are in every way, in every way, in every way. It's who you are, you'll never change, you'll never change, you'll never change. It's who you are in every way, in every way.
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Feel the warmth of your